bringing Christ to the world through the media.
Listener supported.
Here for you every day.
Welcome to the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
It's Tuesday, May 3rd. Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us across America as we continue with day two of our Relevant Radio Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive. Our goal by the end of the week, as you know by now, is $3 million, and we so much appreciate your amazing generosity. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Everything that you give today will be matched dollar for dollar, 100%. We have a small goal. It's 100 gifts this hour, and that really is a very small number of pledges when you consider the tens of thousands that listen to us during this 7 a.m. Central hour across our country, coast to coast. We put it in the Lord's hands and we put it in prayer at the beginning of every day here during the pledge drive as we pray the memorare, invoking the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, to help us not only with this pledge drive, but also for an end to legal abortion in our country, especially with the news that Roe may be on the verge of being overturned. And we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee. O Virgin of virgins, my mother, to thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit. We especially do it here during Pledge Drive Week when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to bring back our Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, the big story that broke last night, political reporting that the Supreme Court has voted to overturn Roe v. Wade. What have you heard as the reaction this morning? What do we know?
Well, John, Politico has reported they got their hands on a look at a first draft of an opinion written for the majority by Samuel Alito that would overturn Roe v. Wade. This is a first draft. The justices still need to technically vote on it yet, and it appears to be 5-4 at this point. And so that is out now. Still could be changed, but the assumption is Roe v. Wade it was likely to be overturned anyway. So lots of strong reaction on both sides. Lots of states lining up to put new laws into place as well. What this does is doesn't eliminate abortion if Roe v. Wade was overturned across the country, but sends it back to the states. And that split is about 50-50 between the states as far as which states it would remain legal and where it would remain illegal. Some governors, including Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, jumping to let folks know that their states will be ones where abortion will still be legal. Others, South Dakota, looking to pass legislation right away to make Roe and abortion therefore illegal. Some thought as far as how this might impact midterm elections, as far as energizing Democrats to come out and vote, but this ruling would have come out officially anyway within a month, and so hard to see how that might be a little different as well. But another concerning factor is that there would be a leak. This has never happened to this degree before, that there's been a leak from inside the Supreme Court. Very few people would have access to what was written and leaked. So that's very interesting too, John.
Absolutely. In fact, some legal analysts are saying that this is highly unethical. Like you said, this has never happened before. So the reaction will continue to be interesting. The words of Justice Alito were pretty strong. Roe was egregiously wrong from the start. We hold that Roe and Casey must be overruled. I mean, how much stronger can you get than that?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And so definitely some strong opinions about this, of course. And in the meantime, barricades were thrown up overnight by Capitol Police around the area of the Supreme Court. And you'll see news coverage of people on both sides of the issue out in force today.
For sure. And as our Relevant Radio CEO, Father Rocky, reminded us last night, this is for sure a memorare moment. We've been praying hundreds of millions of memoraries for this moment in history. And we also need to continue to pray for the justices of the Supreme Court, that they be blessed with courage, fortitude, wisdom, and prudence so that they are not or don't change their mind and are not subject to all the public pressure that you know is going
to
come.
We do need to keep it in prayer. And again, the final vote is still to come. Some think that some of the reason to kind of leak this was to put pressure on justices to maybe one of them to change that vote.
For sure. Well, as always, thanks so much. We'll be keeping an eye on this in the upcoming days. Thanks so much, Glenn.
Sure thing, John.
As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Matthew 6:21. Jesus the Lord says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The question is, what is your treasure and what do you value the most? Your heart is connected to what you value the most. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our ultimate treasure. He is our hope. There is nothing, nothing more important than our faith in Jesus Christ. Our Lord wants all of your heart. He wants all of my heart. He wants all of our hearts. We always pray with great confidence the prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, "Jesus, I trust in you." And now let's talk about love.
Come and see. Come and see what God has done. Come and see. Come and see what love has won.
And as we continue celebrating the glorious Easter season, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see again and again in the daily Mass readings the powerful work of God in the Acts of the Apostles and the Gospel. And we're invited to take a look at how we too might become fishers of men. Today in our weekly Remember You Are Loved segment, Martha Fernandez-Sardina will tell us why evangelization is the loving thing to do. Martha is an international bilingual speaker, the former director for evangelization for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. and San Antonio. She's also the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com. Good morning, Martha. Happy Easter. Thanks so much for being with us. It's so good to be with you, especially here on day two of our Give Hope Pledge Drive.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Martha, first of all, why do you think it's so important to support the mission of Relevant Radio, of bringing Christ to the world through the media, and of talking about love, which is what we do here week in and week out, more than ever before?
Because we all need to be fed and led, and Relevant Radio feeds us and leads us from the moment when we get out of bed until the moment we go back to bed. We can be fed and led by good news. And in a world in which there's so much bad news and fake news, it's great to have a place like Relevant Radio that is safe to have good news and to know that the Lord loves us and that the Lord is calling us to feed us, He Himself, with His body and blood and with His love now and for all eternity. So that's a great thing that we have Relevant Radio to help us do that.
And we're so appreciative for your perspective every single week. You bring that love perspective to our program that is so much appreciated. Martha, tell us about your Easter season. You know, the world, you know, after Easter, it's all over. But for us, it continues on for 50 days. How is your Easter season going so far?
Well, it's going very well. And that's exactly the question that I was asked last Wednesday in a Zoom meeting with fellow street missionaries as we were preparing to conduct an evangelistic outreach, which we called Night Fire. And when I shared, John, briefly in under a minute, how this Easter season is a prime time to rediscover the joy of sharing the faith with the same enthusiasm and conviction of Mary Magdalene and be led by the Holy Spirit to be and bring good news, one of the Zoom meeting participants said with a great joy, she said, "Your enthusiasm is so palpable. You articulate it so well. You need your own radio show." And I laughed. I said, "Yeah, I actually do have a radio segment, and I have done my own radio shows in a couple of languages in a couple of countries, as well as weekly television programs." But I gave her a link to the show, so hopefully she and other street missionaries are also listening now to our show. And when we got together that night for the event on Saturday, one of the participants said, "You're the radio lady." And another one said, "You're the Remember You Are Love lady." And I smiled because it just brought to mind the fact that the Easter joy, if we let it radiate from us, it can be contagious. And people can begin to recognize us for the love that we have, for the joy that we have, for the evangelistic spirit which is in us. And we can be on fire for the Lord and the gospel that way.
I love that. The remember you are loved lady. That's how we're going to remember you, Martha. We need to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez-Sardina. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side of the break after this word from our very own Father Rocky.
Hi, this is Father Rocky. Thank you for listening to Relevant Radio and supporting us in our Give Hope Pledge Drive. You know, St. John Paul II is remembered for many things, but I especially remember him as the Pope of the Rosary. If you ever got a chance to meet him, he would give you a rosary, and he gave us the luminous mysteries of the Rosary in the year 2003. That's why our thank you gift, the $50 a month level, this pledge drive, is a Pope St. John Paul II diptych that shows him walking while praying the Rosary. That's on the left side, and on the right side is his famous quote about the rosary. It reads, "To recite the rosary is nothing other than to contemplate with Mary the face of Christ." You can place it on your mantle or bedside table at home. And it's yours when you give $50 a month or more to Relevant Radio. Give now while we have a dollar-for-dollar match at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app, or you can call 877-291-0123.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Yeah, we're on our way.
And welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for being with us as we continue here with day two of our pledge drive, and also continue our conversation with our good friend, Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com. Martha, we were talking about before the break, and as you know, these segments are a lot shorter during the pledge drive, but you were explaining to us how things were going so far during this Easter season for you. I love the nickname. You are the love lady.
That's right. And it's only by the grace of God. But when we live with the Easter spirit, and in fact, I think I quoted that, St. Augustine, I think it is, it says, we are an Easter people and Alleluia is our song. And I quoted that in the Zoom meeting, and it's contagious. And that's exactly what we were about that Saturday. We had this thing called Night Fire as an outreach in the neighborhood, because we belong to a cathedral that's in the downtown area. So there are a lot of people that come by. And this event has been done with different names by different people in different cities and even countries. Someone mentioned Belgium before. I think it actually started somewhere in Europe with a different name, Night Fever maybe. But we're called, John, to be and bring good news. And that's what we were doing as an Easter people.
Tell us about the Night Fire experience.
Well, there were a group of us, about 50 or 80 or so street missionaries and prayer warriors who were the intercessors who were gathered on Saturday night in the church, in the cathedral, praying as the rest of us were on the sidewalks on two different entrances, one on a corner. And so as people were passing by, we had a night of invitation and of welcome. It was an opportunity to enter a Catholic church and encounter the love of Christ. And it was an opportunity for us as street missionaries to go out to invite people to come in. And it was just a simple introductory pre-evangelization type of outreach. And it was a way for us to respond to the call to fish and to feed, to tend and to mend, which is what the Lord calls the apostles and all apostles and missionaries to do, and even intercessors to do as well. So it included, like I said, the missionaries and the intercessors. It included welcome and invitation, and it included an extending of friendship and conversation, and handing people a small little candle, which they would bring into the church if they accepted the invitation. And before the Blessed Sacrament exposed, we would light these candles on a long table or set of tables, and people then were just invited to stand or kneel or sit and pray for us however long they wanted to, maybe minutes or maybe seconds, I don't know. It depended who you were with. And the street missionaries, we would actually accompany them, stay with them, invite them if they wanted to leave a prayer petition in a jar and to pick up prayer cards that were there with scripture passages, and offer even as we walked out to pray for them. And then there were some refreshments and handouts as well. So it was a night of light in the darkness as the sun was setting and bringing the light of Christ to dispel the darkness of our lives. It was a great night.
And Martha, I got to believe that an experience like that would energize the faithful involved in something like that, what you like to call night fire.
Yes, I didn't give it the name, but the parish did. But yes, and it did energize us. And it was interesting later talking to some of the fellow street missionaries who hadn't done this before. I've done this thing kind of thing before, but many of them had not. And it was interesting to see their enthusiasm and then to discuss a little bit, and hopefully we'll have an opportunity to do it as a group, the experience, you know, that they each had with these impromptu pilgrims, if you will, and to give them each a sense of welcome and a prayerful, quiet experience as luminaries lit the aisles and as the choir filled the air with Taizé songs and traditional adoration hymns as well. And as that soft music played on from the choir loft, we had, in the end, about 500 candles lit on those long tables by the altar rail. And I myself, during those 2 hours, had the privilege of accompanying and getting to know a little bit about 12 different people, and then two more after the event. Just as we closed the doors, there were a couple that came up, and so I engaged them in the courtyard, and we chatted for another 15 or 30 minutes. So for 2.5 hours, there were about 14 people that I interacted with, and I'm sure that the other missionaries had the experience as well of being energized by bringing this love and this welcome to practicing Catholics, quasi-practicing Catholics, non-practicing Catholics, former Catholics, Protestants, evangelicals, non-denoms, people who are unsure of their faith, and people with very mixed family backgrounds as well.
It's got to be pretty uplifting to see the smiles on the faces of all those folks on a night like that. And I imagine it makes it kind of easy to be able to talk about the faith and share your faith and share some of your passion for our Lord.
You know, it is. And I suppose it depends a little bit also on your personality. If you're more outgoing like myself, it might be easier. But even those who are more introverted or quiet or timid also have a role to play and did play that night as we developed what I would call a temporary friendship, right, with someone just to get to know a little bit about these total strangers and extend to them this invitation and this to give them a reason to want to enter the church and to make connection with people who are just like you and people that they would experience that are just like them. And yes, it was interesting because there were, for example, I met someone with whom I share some family names, Joaquin and Andres, and he was so tickled by the fact that, my gosh, he says, you know, I don't meet that many people who have this family name. And some people were from cities where I know that there's outreach to people who are falling away from the faith or are unsure about the faith. So I was able actually to even suggest, why don't you look up this parish? Why don't you look up this other community? So it was a very beautiful thing. There was this one guy who immediately, as soon as I talked to him on the sidewalk in English, he suddenly responded to me in Spanish. And as soon as he opened his mouth, I said, "You're Dominican." And we both laughed and then we switched into Spanish because I'm half Dominican.
Dominicana.
Ya lo sabes.
Absolutely. It sounds to me like, you know, making friends and this love messaging approach that you have, these evangelization encounters, it's not as hard as people might think.
No, it's actually easier than you think. Even though the complete process of evangelization, you know, from that initial contact to a complete conversion is, you know, more complex, but you get the ball rolling, you get the evangelization rolling when you do this kind of thing. And like I said, you know, if you're fearless and extroverted, that's a nice asset, but even if you're not, anybody can really reach out to someone else. And the very first thing that we need for that, John, is a conviction that evangelization is the loving thing to do. And evangelization, as the church has always understood it from the beginning, as we see in the early church and the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles and through the New Testament letters, is not something odious. Evangelization isn't some odious form of proselytizing, you know, even if the dictionary sometimes equates the two, evangelization and proselytism. But it's actually a call that should not be discouraged, but actually encouraged, so that we are about telling others about the love who became flesh, about the risen Lord and the amazing plan of salvation that he has in mind for all of us. So I like to say that evangelization is all about love. And in fact, St. Paul says that it is the love of God that compels us, that drives us, that motivates us, that leads us. And that's our mission. our mission, our words, our attitude of listening, that's what we're called to.
And Martha, it's really uplifting to hear your enthusiasm, your passion for sharing our faith, what we call evangelization. 10 seconds, just a quick final thought.
There was, I think it was Theodore Roosevelt who said that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So let it show. Let people know. Let them know that you love them because God loves them. And remember, you are loved.
I love it. The Love Lady, Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, Catholic apologist William Albrecht will be with us to discuss the biblical basis for the four Marian dogmas to help us better understand our Blessed Mother here in the month of May. Stay with us as the Relevant Radio Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive rolls on.
Listener supported.
Yeah. Bringing Christ to the world through the media.
This is the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us as we continue with day two of our Relevant Radio Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive. As we've been talking about for the last couple of days, this month of May is all about our Blessed Mother Mary. Do you know that there are four Marian dogmas? In fact, there are four dogmas that are stating important aspects of Mary's role in salvation history and her personal relationship with God. What is the biblical basis for these dogmas on Mary, which have been defined by the popes and the teaching authority of the Church, the Magisterium, over the centuries? Joining us now is Catholic apologist William Albrecht for much more on the four Marian dogmas. William is an international speaker and debater. He's participated in well over 65 live and moderated debates, runs a website, patristicpillars.com, dedicated to the early church fathers. And he's also the author of several books, including The Definitive Guide to Solving Biblical Questions About Mary, Mary Among the Evangelists. Good morning, William. Happy Easter. Thanks so much for joining us once again. Again, it's great to be with you here on day two of our pledge drive.
This is incredible to be with you, John. It's just such a blessing to be able to talk to you in this incredible Easter time about our wonderfully immaculate Mother Mary. And you're right, what an important month where we honor and give veneration to our incredible Mother Mary, the Mother of God.
Before we talk about these four Marian dogmas, I just wanted to get your take on the importance of what we do here on Relevant Radio. We obviously give a platform to the issues of life, especially with the breaking news from the Supreme Court last night about Roe v. Wade. But more importantly, being able to talk about our Lord Jesus Christ, to talk about our Blessed Mother. This is what we do, bring Christ to the world through the media. Why should our listeners support what we do here day in and day out, William?
That's a fantastic question. This is one of the most important platforms. Now, why do I say that, John? I say that because there are theological issues that are going on in the world today that need to be talked about. And on this show, on Relevant Radio, issues such as the Marian dogmas, the Holy Eucharist, and as you brought up, John, that incredible Roe v. Wade ruling that will be overturned, God willing. We're praying for that. We're praying that nobody is intimidated and nothing goes wrong. All of these issues are vitally important. And here on Relevant Radio, John, I hear them being talked about in depth, and I see theology unveiled in a different way compared to many other areas. And, John, firsthand, I hear people tell me how Relevant Radio touches their heart and how it's brought them closer to the faith. And that's something incredible during such trying times that we're living in.
No question about it. You talk about touching one's heart. The Blessed Mother touches all of our hearts. Talk to us about these four Marian dogmas. Can you give us a thumbnail sketch briefly of the four dogmas?
Absolutely. So when we talk about the four Marian dogmas, as you know very well, John, we're talking about the four teachings that have been dogmatically defined by the Catholic Church. And, of course, the primary one, the main one, is Mary as Mother of God. Now, why does the church call that the main one? Because it's very important. That Marian dogma is the very reason that our Lord came incarnate in the world. He took flesh upon himself, and he came to the world, and he eventually died on the cross for our sins and bodily rose from the dead. But when we call Mary Mother of God, John, we're not saying that Mary created the divinity, but we're talking about Mary bringing a person, the God-man, our Lord and Savior, into the world. She gave birth to Christ, our incarnate God. So, as you know very well, John, the Eastern churches, they call Mary Theotokos, that meaning God-bearer. Essentially, it means Mary, Mother of God, since she brought our incarnate God into the world. And the other three Marian dogmas are the Immaculate Conception, the Perpetual Virginity of Mary, and the Bodily Assumption of Mary. All of them, John, can be found either directly explicit in Scripture or strongly alluded to, and they are clearly taught by the early church fathers. John, these are teachings that are vital to our faith and are part of the deposit of faith.
Well, we want to kind of give a little overview here this morning, because obviously we could talk about each one of them much more at length. But when you talk about the teaching of Mary as Mother of God, this is not something that the church just pulled out of thin air. It also has a biblical basis.
Absolutely, John. What an incredible point you bring up there. Because if we look at the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 1, verse 23, you directly have it taught there where it says, the fulfillment of the prophecy it's talking about from the book of Isaiah. It says, look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That's Matthew 1:23. The incredible thing about that, John, is if you break it down, it's talking about a virgin being a bearer of a child. But what kind of a child is the virgin going to bear? And the child's name is Emmanuel. And what does that mean? It means God with us. And in the Greek, it's talking about a bearer of a child. Well, guess what? That's exactly where we get the Greek theotokos. And you have the Greek tekos for a bearer in Matthew 1:23. A virgin giving birth to God with us. Right there you have the theological aspect of Holy Mary being the Mother of God. And as you know very well, John, all throughout Scripture, you have it multiple times laid out that Mary, we're shown, is the mother of our incarnate God. It also appears there in the Gospel of St. John. Our Lord came in the flesh. And, of course, Mary didn't give birth to a mere nature. She gave birth to a person, and that person was our incarnate Lord and Savior, Christ.
And we also see in the first chapter of Gospel of Luke, Elizabeth calling Mary the mother of my Lord. And if you keep in mind that in the New Testament, this can only refer to God, Kyrios, he is the Lord.
That's a great point, John, because right there in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, each and every time Kyrios is used for Lord, every time it's in reference to God Almighty, to Yahweh. So here's the amazing thing, John. If we're literally told that Mary is the mother of our Lord and Lord is used for God Almighty, there you've got the strong biblical basis for Mary as Mother of God. John, I'm blown away each and every time I'm here talking with you on Relevant Radio, because each and every time we talk about theological issues of the Catholic faith and we realize they have an incredible biblical and historical basis.
No question about it. The next dogma is the perpetual virginity of Mary. Yes. Can you explain what that means?
Yes, this is such an important one. You know, John, I was asked one time, they asked me, why is it important? Why is the perpetual virginity important? Well, the way I answer them, John, is by telling them anything that is taught in Scripture or by the early church is important. It's been revealed by God. The perpetual virginity is very clear, John. It means Holy Mary, when she gave birth, she did not lose her virginity, and she was truly married to St. Joseph, but they lived lives of abstinence, of celibacy, and they never had sexual relations. Mary's only child was Christ, and this is very clearly brought out in Scripture, and I'd like to add, John, unanimously taught by the early church, that Holy Mary had one child, Christ, never had any other children, and never had relations with St. Joseph, lived a life of dedication to our Lord from beginning to end.
Without a doubt. And in fact, when you take into consideration what the early church fathers had to say, that is a strong basis combined with scripture for the teaching of the perpetual virginity of our Blessed Mother. William, we're in the pledge drive, so we need to take a short break. Our listeners, if you want to be part of the conversation, you have a question for Catholic apologist William Albrecht, 888-914-9149. We'll take a short break. We'll continue our discussion on the Blessed Mother and the four dogma. Stay with us. There's much more to come after this miracle moment.
Changing lives in your neighborhood and across the nation. Here's another Relevant Radio miracle moment.
Hi, I just wanted to call in Thanksgiving. My name is Susan, and I had met Daphne at an abortion facility, and I called in that they pray for her for the Rosary Across America. She just texted that she's 17 weeks pregnant and she's keeping her baby, and she said thank you. So I just want to thank Jesus and all of you that prayed for Daphne. Thank you so much.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you. Make a tax-deductible donation now to support our mission at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app, or call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123.
Touch a heart and change a soul by making a donation to Relevant Radio today.
And welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. That beautiful rendition of that Marian music to set the stage for our discussion as we continue our conversation with Catholic apologist William Albrecht. We've been talking about the four Marian doctrines, and we continue with the most well-known of the Marian doctrines, the Immaculate Conception of our Blessed Mother Mary. William, can you briefly explain this dogma of the Church?
Yes, this is such a beautiful dogma as well, John, because it tells us that at the moment of her, at the instant of her conception, Mary was kept free from any stain of original sin. Now, what is meant by that, John? Well, what is logically meant is that Mary's creation was very different from ours. She was created completely saved with what the Church is taught to be original justice, meaning justified. She was fully justified, never under the dominion of the devil, never touched by any taint of sin. But this is important, John, because the Church teaches that this was because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I have to say, John, it is one of the most beautiful dogmas of the faith, because we clearly see it laid out in Scripture that Mary would never be under the dominion of the devil. And every time we encounter Holy Mary in Scripture, for instance, where she's called full of grace, we realize this is an incredible figure, an incredible woman, and indeed the new ark of the new covenant.
And there is a biblical basis for this teaching. It's not only based on sacred tradition.
That is correct. In fact, in Genesis 3, the prophecy of the woman and the seed being at complete enmity with the devil means that Mary, being the woman that would give birth to the Messiah, would never be under the dominion of the devil. And then, John, when we encounter Mary in Luke 1, she's called kecharitomene, meaning hail, full of grace. Kecharitomene, meaning full of grace. That grace Mary was filled with is that all-holy, sinless, stainless kind of grace, John. Indeed, this has a very strong biblical basis. And when we encounter Mary in the very final book of Scripture, Revelation 12, she's crowned in heaven with a crown of 12 stars, and she's presented to us as the mother of the Church. Isn't that amazing, John?
It is amazing. And William, if you think about it, the power of that phrase, hail full of grace, that we pray all the time when we pray the Hail Mary, the angelical salutation. How can you have sin in you if you are full, the full plenitude of grace?
That's such a fantastic point, John. It would be impossible. It would be a contradiction of Scripture. And how amazing we talk about Mary being at complete enmity with the serpent. But isn't it amazing how that dogma directly ties in with the other dogma of Mary's bodily assumption into heaven? Because in the book of Revelation, we have a clear vision of a woman bodily in heaven. The Greek word for heaven is right there. And that woman is none other than Holy Mary. We're taught that at the end of her life, at the completion of her life, she was taken body and soul into heaven by our Lord, bodily assumed. This is taught in Scripture, John, and the early church clearly teaches this as well.
And although it's not explicitly in sacred Scripture, it doesn't use the word the assumption, it is implied and it's not contrary to Scripture.
Absolutely, John. It is strongly alluded to in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and there is a messianic psalm which also alludes to it. So there are strong allusions to it. And John, what a great point you bring up. We also believe in sacred tradition as Catholics, and it's taught in sacred tradition. And I just want to implore the audience that are tuning in, John, this Relevant Radio does such a great service to the faith by talking about these amazing things. And I just hope people really open their hearts up and donate today.
Well, thank you so much for your insights, as always. I really, really appreciate it. And for much more, you can go to patristicpillars.com. William, it's been a joy, as always, as we continue to honor our Blessed Mother here in the month of May.
It sure has been, John. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks so much. Catholic apologist William Albrecht, the author of The Definitive Guide to Solving Biblical Questions About Mary, Mary Among the Evangelists. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today about giving, once again, is called What You Can Take With You by Joseph Mazzella. I stopped at a local convenience store the other day to fill up my gas tank before heading back home. After pumping the gas, I headed in, grabbed a pack of gum, and got in line to pay. In the front of the line was a tired-looking woman holding a toddler in her arms. Behind her and just in front of me was an older man with white hair and a white shirt. He smiled kindly at me and patiently waited while the woman struggled to hold her child while counting out change with her free hand. She searched twice in her pocketbook but still didn't have enough money to pay for the 2 gallons of milk that she'd brought to the counter. I could see her lips tremble and her eyes moisten as she apologized and picked up one of the gallons to take back. It was then the older man stopped her. With a gentle smile, he told the cashier that he'd pay for the milk. And the look of relief on that poor woman's face touched my heart. She thanked the older man. Well, he smiled again and said not to worry about it. As she exited the store, I could see her eyes were still moist, but this time the tears were for a different reason. As he paid for her milk and his own items, the white-haired angel in disguise smiled at me one last time. As he was walking out of the store, he gave me a wink and said, "Can't take it with you, you know." What he said is true. You won't need any pockets for the clothes you're buried in. Every dime you've made in this world has only been a loan for you to use for a short time. Still, there are a few things the white-haired gentleman and all of us will be taking with us when we do go to our final home. Every look of relief that we bring to another will go with us, as will every bit of love that we shared and kindness we do. Every moment of learning and joy will come with us as well. And every smile that we bring to God's face will be waiting for us when we get there. Matthew 6:19-20 reminds us, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal."
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. I want to remind our listeners to continue to pray for an end to legal abortion. Pray for the Supreme Court justices to stay strong and stay the course. Honor our Blessed Mother Mary here in the month of May and pray the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky with all your prayers and petitions at 7 p.m. Central tonight and every single night of the week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And of course, stay with us as we continue to ask for your help. We need your help. We can't do it without you here on Relevant Radio as we continue to give hope. And our spring pledge drive will continue in a moment. And I also want to remind you that the Patrick Madrid Show will be coming up at the top of the hour. So stay with us. There's much more. We set the tone for the rest of the day here on Morning Air.